Father, we want to lift up a prayer for Larry. We pray, Lord, that you will heal his back. We pray that you'll deliver him from the pain. And we want to pray, Father, we want to continue to pray for his unspoken prayer request. Father, we know that you're well aware of what it is, of what is needed. Father, we pray together in agreement that you would work things out for the good and for your glory in that situation. And Father, we want to pray for that little one that was mentioned that's in the ICU. Father, please put your hands on that baby. We pray that that baby will be able to start taking food. We pray that baby will be able to start breathing on their own. We pray, Father, you'll heal their body. And we pray that you'll comfort his parents. Father, help them to trust in you through all of this. Please give them comfort and peace. And Father, we pray that you'll bless Chrissy's home. We pray that that you'll fill her home with peace and love. And we pray that you'll protect Summer from anything negative that's been coming her way. And I pray you give Chrissy patience, Lord. And we pray that you will lead in the way you want that young man to go. And I pray, Father, that somehow you would be able to speak to his heart so that he would repent and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll help him to escape the snare of the devil and be set free in Christ. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you again for the opportunity to study the Word of God together. Please bless this time. Please teach us as we read and as we discuss. For all these things, God, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we thank you and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 6. We're going to read all the way to verse 19. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Okay, so we talked last week about avoiding some financial issues, specifically debt, we talked about last week. And I remember one of the things we mentioned was someone asked a question about college debt, and we had a good little talk about that. If you know what you want to do with your life, and you can focus on that and go get the necessary schooling for that, it's a great thing to do. But just to go to school and take on debt, I don't think is the wisest decision. And this week, you know, there's all kinds of graduations going on now, and this week I saw a story pop up about some students from NYU. NYU costs about, to get a degree, costs about $250,000. And there was this video, these going through and showing their, people were saying what they got their degrees in, and everybody, they'd finish saying it, and everybody would shout and cheer. And for $250,000, can I tell you a couple of these? The Sociology of Environmental Communication, whatever that means.
Global warming.
The Performance of Self.
Whoa, what?
No idea. This is what they're celebrating. She said that, and everybody cheered. And I have no clue what that even means. I just know it's expensive.
Wow. Or where are
are they going to find a job?
I had no idea. And then another one I wrote down was, this was the combination. It was music, business, and gender studies.
And what?
Gender studies. Yeah.
It should be pretty simple.
Yeah. Two genders.
That's simple. Well, that's how hard that is, but whatever. $250,000. I just don't think there's much wisdom in any of that. So anyway, we talked about debt and all that last time. This time, we go into Proverbs 6, verse 6, and Solomon wants to talk to us about being lazy. And he wants us to go and take a look at the ant. The ant is a very busy person. Interesting scientific fact here. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. He mentions her three times. And it's an interesting scientific fact. Did you know that all the worker ants are female?
Makes sense.
It's interesting. There's no lesson in there. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying that Solomon wrote this stuff thousands of years ago. And the Bible says that the worker ants were female. That's pretty cool. People don't think there's any science in the Bible, but that's not true. We go to the ant. God's creation does teach many lessons, though. There's all kinds of this type of teaching in the Bible. And we're told that the ants are a good example of being industrious, being a hard worker. We're told also in Proverbs that ants are exceedingly wise. And that's the point of Proverbs, is we're trying to grow in wisdom. We're trying to learn how to live skillfully, a godly life in Christ. And ants are exceedingly wise. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 and 25 says, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Exceedingly wise. And verse 25 says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Ants are exceedingly wise simply because they work when it's time to work, so that they have food when they can't work. Basically, they prepare during harvest for the winter. That's wisdom. They make hay while the sun shines. Ants, they teach us so much. They teach us discipline. They teach us about hard work. They teach us about planning ahead, foresight. It's interesting because verse 7 says they have no captain, overseer, or ruler. Worker ants are exceedingly wise when it comes to this. You know why? They don't need anyone to tell them that it's time to get up and go to work. They do it all on their own. Isn't that something?
Independent.
They're independent. They do it themselves. They don't have to keep being reminded that it's time for work. They don't have to be told 100 times to wake up and get busy. They do it all on their own. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about something else that's been true in my life, is I've always been able to get a job when I wanted one. The only time I couldn't get a job, funny fact, the only time I had trouble getting a job was when I didn't want one.
Right.
Isn't that interesting how that works? We have tons of reminders, don't we, that it's time to go get up and go to work. We have the alarm clock, the snooze button.
Wife.
Huh?
Your wife.
Your parents. Your boss. Maybe they call. And we have all these reminders that it's time to get the bills come in the mail. We have all these reminders that we got to get up and go to work, and sometimes we still don't do it. And that's why the aunt is exceedingly wise. She doesn't even need to be reminded. She doesn't need anybody to tell her. She knows it's time for work. She gets up and goes to work. Verse 8 says she provides her supplies. She provides her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. When it's time to gather food, she does it. She prepares ahead of time for the time when she can't gather food so that her and her family can eat. It seems so simple, right? But the Bible says that's exceedingly wise.
I just told him it was good to go shopping.
I don't see that in there. Anything about shopping in there?
Provision. That's how I read that.
That's between you two, I guess. That's between you two. This kind of wisdom was given to Joseph. It's interesting, when we were talking about fleeing sexual immorality, remember we talked about Joseph, how he did that? And here again, when it comes to preparing ahead of time and getting your food when it's time, we have Joseph as an example again. Because you remember the Pharaoh had a dream. There were seven good-looking chubby cows, right? And then in the dream, seven ugly cows, skinny cows, came up and ate the healthy cows, but the skinny cows didn't get any bigger. And he had several details like that in his dream, and no one could interpret the dream or tell him about it, but Joseph did. And Joseph said, God is telling you what's about to happen. It's going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. And God gave Joseph the wisdom to tell Pharaoh, we better plan ahead. We better plan ahead. And they stored up their food during the 7 years of plenty. So when the famine came, not only did Joseph feed Pharaoh in Egypt, but he fed the world. Everybody was coming there to get food. God used Joseph to save many people alive. And he gave him this exceedingly wise advice. How about we prepare ahead of time? The lazy man, the sluggard, does the opposite. He does not plan ahead. And then he ends up poor, begging for help. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. It's a simple truth of life that laziness leads to poverty. But God blesses hard work. Hard work provides plenty. One of the issues with the lazy man, when it comes to this, is he's really good at making excuses. Instead of doing what the ant does and just getting to work when it's time, he has all kinds of reasons why it's not a good idea to get up and get to work right now. And it's kind of funny when you read them, because they seem ridiculous, but you know, a lazy person, they have a way of justifying themselves in their own mind that to them seems wise. They think it sounds good. To everybody else, it seems ridiculous. For example, we have examples here. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. I can't go outside. You're crazy for going outside. Don't you know there's lions out there? I think I'll just stay in here where it's nice and safe. Well, you read that and you think it's ridiculous, right? But that's exactly how a lazy person acts. And they exaggerate excuses to keep from getting up and going to work. Continuing in that section, after we talk about the lion. I mean, sure, we don't have lions here, but there's lots of other things someone can make excuses about. You know, there's dangerous driving on the road. You know, at work, there's sick people there.
Yeah.
I'll end up sick.
Confession, yeah. I've said, I don't want to go because I might get attacked because the people are just acting up lately.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand those people. Yeah, I don't want to go. I can't stand those people.
At the time, you really convince yourself of that.
You sure can. You sure can.
Sorry, we were called out.
Yeah.
I've never been attacked on once.
Sorry, not over.
So your excuse. So your excuse never comes true.
Yeah,
but you still use it.
Not once. Yeah.
I'm sure this dude complaining about a lion outside never got ate by a lion either. You know, I know lions can be dangerous, but you know, people go on safaris and ride in wide open vehicles. And lions are walking around crawling on them and everything else. You've seen those videos. I would never do that, but they do it. Not a very good excuse. Sounds like a good excuse. Not a very good excuse. The reason there's an excuse is because of verse 14 here. Verse 14 says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The reason he's afraid of the lion is because he's really sleepy. That's exactly what, isn't that what it's saying? He just wants to stay in bed. And this is what he's doing. Do you know when you're sleeping, and you're sleeping really good, you don't really move. Maybe a couple times a night, right? But this guy, he's just being lazy, and what's he doing? He's just, yep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You guys do that? You ever do that? You're laying in bed, you can't get comfortable. You're just moving around the whole time. You're not really going to sleep. You just don't want to get up. The lazy man, verse 15, he buries his hand in the bowl and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth.
Oh,
it's in the Bible. A lazy man is so lazy, he won't even feed himself.
Now, that's very true right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're just expecting somebody else to pay for their food and the government just feeds that.
Yeah.
That you have that right.
Yep.
So that is so true.
The people's attitude today is, I'm going to use my money to buy the things that I want, okay? And you should give me the things that I need. And even a young person at youth group, when we were talking about this, was talking about someone standing in the Walmart parking lot with a sign, you know, smoking a cigarette, talking on their phone. Right? I mean, even the youth recognize that. Why are you using your money on cigarettes? Why are you paying for a phone when you need food?
Leaning against the help wanted sign.
Leaning against the help wanted sign. Yeah. Put down the sign you're holding and go in and get a job. Now, there's some people who can't work, right? We understand that. But that's not who we're talking about today. We're talking about the person who won't work. There's so many proverbs about this. When it comes to the lazy man, usually asking him for help just causes more problems. It just makes things more difficult than fixes things. If we go backwards, let's see, I'm trying to do them in order. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. And actually, this person helping you with your work makes your job two times as hard.
That's why I work alone.
Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. The lazy person, all they do is make more obstacles for themselves to have to cross. And not only that, putting that with what we just read, they make more obstacles for other people too. They create a hedge of thorns instead of making a highway. Keep going backwards, Proverbs 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. An irritant, yeah, yep. They cause more irritation than solution. All of this tells us that it is God's will for us to work hard. Now, obviously, there's a ditch on the other side of that where you can overwork, where you're neglecting other things that are important, right? We don't want to go that way, but putting in an honest day's work, putting in an honest effort to receive an honest pay, that is something that God blesses. That is God's will. It's God's will. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. This spiritual blessing that comes from God in completing a good day's work. The soul is made rich, right? It's more than just about making money. The soul is made rich when you're diligent. There's so much that you learn and so many ways you grow through hard work. It's so true. So many lessons you learn when you're working. How to overcome obstacles. Problem solving. Dealing with people. That's your excuse. You go there, even though it's difficult dealing with people, you go there so that you can learn how to deal with people in a godly manner. We learn by going to work, interacting with coworkers, we learn how to live out our faith.
True.
In the world. That's where we're supposed to be living it out.
It's the mission field.
It's the mission field. Yeah, we're not just Christians at church, right? We're supposed to be being filled here to go out and actually live out our faith out there.
So Satan's using this flesh, this laziness, to try to get us.
You can't do anything good out there.
Yeah.
If you're just spinning around on your bed. And just so you know, I mean, good godly men in the Bible, they were hard workers. Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't lazy. Paul was a tent maker. He was making tents while he was on mission, planting churches all over the world, a couple continents. Places where he felt it was inappropriate, you know, he would work and he would provide for himself. There were sometimes people provided for his needs and he was thankful, but he was not afraid to work. So then the question comes. After bringing all that out in Proverbs 6, the question comes in verse 9, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep?" Now, I remember us talking a few weeks back. I lose track of time real easy, but some time back, we were talking about how God blesses us with sleep. And trusting in Him gives us sweet sleep throughout the night. Sleep is a blessing, okay? But what we're talking about is you're not supposed to be sleeping when you're supposed to be working. That's what we're talking about. Sleep is a blessing for people who work hard. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul." Every day when I get done with work, it's just thankful to God for accomplishing something, for his blessing on my life, his providing for me through the job. Thankful for all of that. You're not supposed to sleep when you should be working. So here's a challenge for you. Ready? Don't get outworked by an ant. There's two ways that the ant is better than the lazy man. Ready? She succeeds by choice. She succeeds by choice. And number two, she plans ahead. That's what Proverbs 6 is teaching us. What's the answer to the question? So the question comes to the lazy man. Okay, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? What's the answer? Just a little more. Just a little more sleep. I'll get up after just a little more. And this is the truth. Usually the lazy man, he doesn't flat out refuse, right? He delays. Delay, delay, delay.
So is procrastination really a part of laziness, do you think?
I do think procrastination is a part of laziness, yeah. Yeah. It's not wise, and I do this too, to push off what needs to be done till the last minute. You know why it's not wise? Because you've probably been here. Because then when you're in a hurry, you make mistakes. And you forget things, yeah.
And you end up late.
Yes, anything can happen, yep. Anything can happen to mess it up so that you miss your opportunity or you're not able to make the deadline, whatever. Yeah, it's not wise. And why do we procrastinate? Usually, not always, but usually, there's not a very good reason. Have you ever put something off for a really long time, and then you finally make the decision, okay, I'm going to do this, and it takes you like 5 minutes?
Right. Seconds.
Yeah, and you're done, and you're like, why in the world did I put that off so long? That was so easy. I wouldn't have to have been thinking about that for all that time. Yeah.
Or you make it seem like it's going to be like this awful project, and then you get into it, and you're like, oh, it's not so bad.
Or it's fun, even. Yeah, you're enjoying it.
Well, you could also miss an opportunity, because if you put whatever off, and then you have to do it at that time because you have that deadline, something else could come up, and you're not going to be able to take advantage of the other opportunity because you're stuck still trying to finish this off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing about this is, too, you want to be somebody that's trustworthy and can be counted on, and that just doesn't happen when you live like that.
There's a saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person.
Ask a busy person. That is true.
The ants are busy. They are not always busy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. That makes sense. I'm going to ask an ant to bring me some food.
They're busy bringing their own.
While you're at it, could you carry a donut over here?
Is it possible to be too busy?
Yes, it is possible to be too busy.
I like this.
And it's also possible to be busy and not really
busy. Yeah. Yeah. That's the balance. I only mentioned it for a second, but that's the balance, because God does bless us with time to rest, time to sleep. But yeah, what you said is true, because Jesus said, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. That's exactly true. The person who gets things done is the person people ask to do things. And they know they can count on them. They know it's not like the lazy person. They're not going to get smoke in their eye. Or it's not going to get ruined, and they're going to have to go back and do it over again. So how long will you slumber? Well, just a little longer. Just a little longer. That's the response of the lazy person. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Open your eyes, and you'll be satisfied with bread. Wake up. Up and at 'em. I want to read this just because I tried to use all the verses in Proverbs about laziness. But there's evidence of laziness in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 through 34. So Solomon learned some lessons from the ant, and he also learned some lessons in other ways. Proverbs 24, verse 30. He says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. A little sleep, a little slumber, and the guy's field was ruined. Go ahead.
Our neighbors, they have patches of, used to be, the neighbor before us had these beautiful daylilies. And our neighbor said, the new one says, you can go down and get him. You know, he doesn't want them. So we went down, we dug up some daylilies, you know, in the springtime. You can't see the daylilies now because the weeds and the trees and the scrubs are like this. So basically, that's what happens to a sluggard, to a lazy person. Everything overgrows it, and now you can't see anything. I mean, it's just...
Very interesting.
It's a mess. Yeah, you cannot get in there and get them.
But it's true. It's true.
But it's true. It doesn't stay the same.
And it's true spiritually speaking, too. Right? Mm-hmm. If you don't stay on top of things, if you don't keep yourself filled with the Word, if you're not being obedient, walking in prayer, things like that, when you neglect your spiritual life, weeds grow. Weeds grow in your life. It's very true.
You get choked out and you can't hear the voice of God.
Yes. Yes. Choked out.
You can't see the beauty. You cannot, I mean, nothing. Yeah, there's no flowers. There's no joy. Nothing. And you don't dare go in there because there's an all... they've got a lot of poison ivy, and so it's dangerous even to approach it.
Mm-hmm. You reminded me of the parable. Jesus said, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Yeah.
And weeds growing up. All right, so then he gives us the conclusion here in Proverbs 6.
Choke the word. Choke. The word that's hidden in our heart.
Yes, and chokes it out. Well, like she was saying, you don't see the fruit of a spiritual life because all you see is the weeds. They've outgrown it.
And they do not blossom. I mean, there's no blossoms there.
Chokes them. Yeah, they choke them out. Okay, poverty. Verse 11, Proverbs 6, verse 11. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. You come to the realization at some point that you robbed yourself of time, opportunity. Yep. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat."
The world's going against the Bible.
Sure is.
They just passed it out.
Yeah, if a person refuses to work and take other people's resources, that person is a thief. That person is a thief. Laziness ends in slavery. Here's a last verse on this, I think. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. It ends in slavery. All right, real quick, I'm going to finish with this. Proverbs 6, let's talk about this worthless person. So we talked in, where were we when we did this? At the end of chapter 4, we talked about the anatomy of wisdom. We talked about your eyes and your hands and your feet, your heart, your mouth, and how they should be acting, how they should be controlled. How your mouth will give evidence if your heart's not right. We talked about all that stuff. Well, this guy is the opposite of all that good that we talked about. You see in here, you see his eyes, his feet, his hand, his heart. They are all pointing toward wickedness. A worthless person, verse 12, a worthless person. Man, that's harsh.
So we are to judge people's character like this, Pastor? I mean...
Well, you have to. Okay, so you got an important job to do, all right? And you got to find someone that you can count on to get the job done. You need to be able to make a judgment about whether this person is trustworthy or they're lazy and they're going to ruin the thing, right? You have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's foolishness to not make those judgments.
Just like hiring when you go to a job. They have to do that.
Yeah. Andy just got hired at his job. I'm sure the boss wasn't, after the interview, was like, "Well, that guy sucked." Well, let's hire him anyway. Right? I mean, that's not how it works.
It is how it works.
That is how it works.
Yeah, that's what's saying right now, everybody.
Well, that's not how it's supposed to work, right?
I know. If you're the one paying that person, if you look at it from the employer's perspective, you be the employer. And if you're going to employ that person, and you have a job that needs to be accomplished, how patient are you going to be while they sit over there and smoke a cigarette, twiddle their thumbs, go take a break, and
go sit on their phone?
You know, when you look at it from that perspective, you realize,
The people that let people get away with that stuff, they're not spending their own money.
That's right.
They're not paying them.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you have friends that just won't work.
Yeah. And we're gonna talk about this with this guy, because this guy... Let's read about him. He's a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, okay? He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. This body language that betrays what he's trying to tell you. So a con man, okay, is gets good at lying to you, to your face. But even though the person is lying to you, they give themselves away in other ways, right? Because we've talked about it. We talked about how out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But even when a person has mastered the art of telling you a lie, right, in other ways they show you through their hands and their feet and their eyes that they're being deceptive. The issue we have is exactly what Leanne brought up, and I wanted to say this week studying this. When a person shows you who they are, you have to believe them.
Come on.
Yeah.
We're too nice sometimes.
Yes, yes. It's not about being nice.
Gullible.
It's about being gullible.
It's gullibility.
It's gullibility. It's gullible. Yes. Well, yeah, we make excuses. Well, you know,
they're trying.
That you gotta
went through a hard time.
We gotta be wiser than that.
Oh.
If they're showing you who they are, you gotta believe them and understand the difference between somebody who you minister with and someone who's your mission field. You know, and you don't trust those two people the same way. They either give themselves away with their words or with their actions. And when they do, you have to believe them. Because we're also told by Jesus that by their fruit, you will know them, right? Jesus said both. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he said, by their fruit, you will know them. So people will say one thing and do another. And you have to believe them. People who tell me all the time that they love God, right? But the rest of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is horrible. And I know that they don't fear God. There's something wrong. And I believe them when that stuff comes out of their mouth. There's something not right there. Those two things can't happen. I know things happen sometimes, but this person can't live that way, right? And say they love God. It just doesn't work. James in James chapter 3 said, can cursing and blessing both come out of the same mouth? These things ought not be. Can a spring bring forth fresh water and salt water at the same time? That's not how this works. So when they show you through their words or through their actions who they are, you have to believe them. Verse 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. When you hear people giving you their ideas, or you see that they're always trying to take advantage of people, you have to recognize that stuff. But that's not of God. They're devising evil. And this is the worst one. He sows discord. People who cause division. People who try to separate people. They come to you and they talk about this person. And then they go to them and they talk about another person. And yes, you have to avoid those people. You have to avoid those people. People who are causing division are very destructive. Very destructive. When you take those things that he just said about that guy, then he puts them into the next section and he says, these are 6-7 things that the Lord hates. And it's the very same things that we were just talking about. With the eyes, with the mouth, with the hands, with the feet. That God hates a proud look. When somebody is exalting themselves, God hates it. Have you ever been around a person who's always bragging about themselves? Or tearing somebody else down to make themselves look good? It's prideful, and God hates it. They overvalue themselves, and they undervalue everybody else. It's something that God hates. I was studying about pride, and I read this sentence this week. It was amazing. Pride is dust deifying itself. Dust, because we're made of dust, deifying itself. Lifting yourself up. God hates it. God hates a lying tongue. When you come across somebody, or you recognize, or you learn somehow that someone has lied to you, okay, you got to be careful of that person. You got to be careful of that person. Especially if they are unrepentant. I mean, if something happens and they come to you and they're trying to fix it, then you have different circumstances. But somebody who's a liar, you got to be aware of that. God desires us to walk in truth. The devil is the father of lies. Don't be deceived by that. Hands that shed innocent blood, God hates murder. God hates it. God, in fact, instituted capital punishment for murder back in Genesis chapter 9. He hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Wicked plans should be exposed. When you find out someone is devising wicked plans, they should be exposed. God hates it. Feet that are quick to run to evil. Not only does God hate the person who's devising wicked plans. By the way, God doesn't send sins to hell. He sends people to hell. He hates when this stuff is going on. He hates when people are committing bloodshed. Yes, he wants people to repent, but you got to know how he feels about this stuff. He hates it.
You know, go ahead. You know, we talked about how when you're in a position and someone of authority is over you, you still have to do what they tell you to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to lie. You don't have to do anything they tell you to do that's wrong.
Like if you're in war and they're like, you're going to go out and shoot that guy. And you have
okay.
To
War is not murder. War is not murder. Self-defense is not murder. And capital punishment is not murder. Hands that shed innocent blood is the problem.
Kind of war, though. I mean, you don't know.
No. When...
I mean, like, look at the Jews. They were out killing the Jews, and they hadn't done anything. They were innocent.
Correct. They were murdering them. Yep. And it was...
But they were being told to do it.
Correct, and they were wrong for doing what they were told to do when it was wrong. Yes. None of them had the excuse, and nobody will ever have the excuse that I was just following orders. That never flies with God. If Hitler told them him to go turn the gas on in the showers there and kill all the Jews that were in there, he should have told them no, even if it cost his life. That's the right thing to do. There's never an excuse. As soon as somebody turned the oven on and was cooking somebody, they were guilty of murder. There is no following. I was just following orders. Now, if someone attacks your home and you have to protect your family, you're doing the right thing. You're protecting them from hands that want to shed innocent blood. Right? And same when a country is attacked, it's the same idea. Our country, this is our house, and when it's attacked, we got to defend it. That's the same idea. But to do the person who's attacking us, they're the ones trying to shed innocent blood.
So we're still there right now. We're thinking it. Taking it. It's not, maybe not murder, but it's still not.
Well, there's a lot of murder going on.
There is, and there's a lot of lying.
Not making excuses. Yep. But it's only going to get worse. Yeah. It's only going to get worse. And they're going to be coming for us. Why? Just because we tell people the truth. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get it settled in our hearts now that when that pressure comes, we're gonna stand.
We're supposed to come out and be separate. Yep. And that's what's hard.
Yep.
Don't you think, Pastor Corey, like...
Well, I'm not saying any of this is easy, but yes.
And all that stuff, it's...
Yeah. Well, that's why we got to be working on it now.
Yeah.
Let's take a lesson from the ant,
yeah.
Right, and put it into this too, that we got to be preparing ahead of time for these things. We know they're coming. It's wrong to wait till they get here and then try to gird up your loins.
Right. Stop being crazy.
Let's gird up our loins now and be ready to say no when they call us to do something wicked. No, sir. You will stop speaking in the name of Jesus. No, sir, I will not.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. We are paying taxes to abort babies. We've been doing this for years.
Well, the Bible says you got to pay taxes. We do get benefit from the taxes. The people taking the money and using it that way, they're guilty. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But it's just like giving someone that, like in youth group, when they were talking about the person standing there with the sign. If in your heart you want to give them $20, you can give them $20. And it's on them.
What they do with it, yep. Yep. And if you really want to, hey, I'm going to really make you mad right now. Ready for this? The next one says a false witness. That's injustice. A false witness is someone who perverts justice. Who lies when it's...
Like the elected officials.
Like an elected official, but I'm talking mainly about the judicial system, where someone gets on stand and lies. And then someone goes to prison because they were lied about. It's injustice. Happens all the time.
Every day.
It's ramping up. It's getting heavy. And then finally, one who sows discord among brethren. That's the church. Brethren. That's... The way the devil likes to work against the church is he likes to infiltrate, comes in by stealth, subtly, and tries to start causing division, separating people. And you got to be wise enough to recognize it. Say, hey, what's he trying to do? Why is he talking like that about that person? You recognize it. And a person who sows discord, we're to take note of them, right, and avoid them. I'm going to read this, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, those who cause people to stumble. There's a lot of people in the name of Jesus who are trying to say that sin is okay. They cause people to stumble. Note those. those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them.
Now, when you were talking about that, they're two in the same or different, like worthless man and a lazy man. They can have the traits of both.
Well, he,
or are they two separate?
He's talking about two separate things. Okay. Yes. But both are equally, yeah. Both are bad.
Yeah.
Both are not good. But the one key ingredient in this both is their actions affect other people, and that's the problem. That's the main issue.
It's a worthless man has a lot of energy running around causing trouble.
Yeah, he's all active, right? Pointing the finger, winking with his eyes. There's a guy at work that winks. He reads scripture with us when we do that, and I'm always bringing that up. Now he knows it too, because he winks. He, I don't know why, he just winks. Instead of saying hi or good morning, he just winks. I don't trust you, you're always up to something. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. What an awesome privilege we have to have the word of God, to be able to study it together. Please continue to bless this day, the service about to start, the service tonight. Father, please use them to glorify yourself. Use them to build up your people so that we're ready to go out and live out our faith wherever you've placed us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Love it. Love it. Love it.